Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to our God who reigns. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to set every captive free. He wants to break every chain. He wants to loose us from them bonds. Amen. He wants His people to walk in His freedom and His liberty. He wants us to walk in that victory that He's already achieved for us, accomplished for us. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank You for the victory that is in You. Hallelujah. For You have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord Jesus, we want You to reign over us. And reign over us this year, Lord. We give You our lives. Lord, use us as Your vessels this year. Make us a blessing. We pray that out of our lives, Lord. Out of our lives, You will shine. Hallelujah. How many want to glorify the Lord? Amen. How many want to please the Lord? Amen. And you know, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to have godly desire. Amen. Before I knew the Lord, I didn't care about the things of the Lord. Amen. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God wants us to live out of that new identity in Christ as a free person, a man no longer bound by sin, no longer a sinner by definition, but a son and a daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad we have an advocate with the Father? Amen. If we sin, we have an advocate. We can come to the Lord and confess our sins. Amen. And He's faithful and just to forgive us. But I'm no longer in sin, but I'm in Christ. I'm no longer in Adam, but I'm in Christ. I'm no longer in death, but I'm in life. So I live from life. Amen. I live from the place of having been justified, having been made free, having been justified, right? Just as if it never happened. Isn't that good news? Has anybody forgiven here this morning? Hallelujah. You live forgiven. The devil wants to condemn. Amen. He wants to rob you of your joy, your peace, your victory by trying to infiltrate lies into your head, into your mind. We're not listening to that voice anymore. We listen to the voice of truth. Amen. Like the song says, it tells me a different story. Amen. He says, do not be afraid. The Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord had to remind Gideon of that, didn't He? He says, do not be afraid. He said, you mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. That's your identity. Hallelujah. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Hallelujah. God wants to fill your life so much. The overflowing that you and I will just be an overflowing cup for Him this year. Amen. But that means I have to give up myself. I have to give up lordship over me. I relinquish control to Him. Amen. I submit my will to His will. And when I'm under His authority, I can exercise authority. Amen. But if I am full of me, I can't be full of Him. So God wants to wean you off yourself. He wants to wean us off ourselves. He wants us to be a vessel for Him. He's looking for those vessels that are not perfect, but available and willing. And willing to cooperate with the Lord in everything. If he says no, it's no. If he says yes, it's yes. Amen. I'm going to be a yes person for Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't need yes people in the world, but we need yes people in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, once again, thank you for coming this morning. And this is how many thought we'd be riding around and like the Jetsons by now, you know. Some of you remember the Jetsons. The flying cars. Well, they got flying cars now. We're catching up to the Jetsons, right? But, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but. Technology explosion, information explosion, information overload. How many know you got to really guard your heart, guard your mind? You know, focus in the right direction. There's just too many things that can pull us away, distract us. You know, we really need, it all boils down to, Lord, is what do you want for me? What do you want me to focus on? There are thousands of things happening simultaneously throughout the earth. And you can't keep up with it all, so don't try. What we need to ask the question is, Lord, what do you want from me? What do I need to focus on? What do I need to be about this year? How many know we've been called to serve the King? Every one of us. If you're in Christ, you've been called to serve. Amen. Just like Jesus came, not to be served, but to serve. He gave his life away. He gave us an example. He says to live is to die. It's the opposite of the world. Die to yourself, that you might live for him. Hallelujah. Who died for you and rose again. Amen. We serve the living God, the Most High God, the God who has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. If you're not confessing him now, you will. But let me just say this. I'm going to confess him now. Amen? Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. Amen? And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Amen? And he who does not confess me, he won't get confessed either. Amen. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, you'll also be denied. How many want your name loud and clear in heaven? How many want to see Jesus smiling in that day when you see him and he says, oh, I know who you are. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Hallelujah. You don't want to be another group. Amen. That hears, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm going to hear, understand the importance of confessing. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, amen, and we will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to let you know, I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, thank you, Lord. And God allowed us to have another day. How many know that your time is valuable? That your life matters? What we do now matters in eternity. How you live your life matters. How many know it's very wise that we would give ourselves to live for the Lord and for his purposes? Because when you live for Jesus, you're living for eternity. Amen. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures where? In heaven. Hallelujah. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Therefore, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry about anything. God says, stop it. Trust me. I've got you. I'll hold you. I'll carry you through it. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Amen. And His grace is sufficient. Everything we have need of is freely available to us in Christ. But we have to go to Him and make that withdrawal through prayer. Amen. Call upon Him, and He will rescue you. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to crack some of us open, amen, a little bit more this year, so that the life within us will spring forth. Amen. Because sometimes we can just be shut down, amen, even in the light. God doesn't want His people shut down. He wants them speaking out, amen, and letting their light shine. So the Lord, sometimes we can be a tough nut to crack, amen. But He knows how to crack the nut, amen. So we can get to the life that's within the seed that needs to spring forth, amen. And it's always easier just to yield to the Lord than it is to be a stubborn mule that has to be bridled, amen. If He has to do that, He'll do that. But I find it's always easier just to say, yes, Lord. All right. And God doesn't want you wasting your life either. He gave it to you as a gift. Amen. You have a stewardship over yourself to be a faithful servant. Amen. And steward over God's gift, His investment in you. How many know that your gift isn't just for you, it's for others? So be a blessing. Amen. I pray that out of my life, Lord, You will shine. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord and for what He did, none of us would have hope. We don't deserve what He did. None of us are righteous enough in ourselves. Amen. We could not save ourselves. We were without hope. We were separated through sin. There was no way we could get ourselves out of jail, if you will. But Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. He paid the price, didn't He, that we deserve to pay. Amen. It was because of love that He died on that cross. For God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Don't ever doubt the love that God has for you. He demonstrated His love for you. It's not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And when we receive that love, we automatically love Him back. That's worship. We love God back with our life. Amen. With our songs, with our praises, with our duties, whatever we do, our day-to-day lives, everything should be, amen, for the glory of God now. And out of gratitude, we serve the Lord. But Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, this is My body, which is broken for you. You know, take, eat. Do this in remembrance of Me. Jesus bore stripes on His back. Amen. For our healing. He suffered for us, that we could be healed. Amen? He shed His blood so that we could be cleansed and that we could be united to Him. So it's through the broken body and shed blood of Jesus that we're brought into harmony with our God. Amen? We are likened to the bride of Christ. Amen? So the Lord, our heavenly Bridegroom, purchased us. Amen? The dowry was paid at the highest cost, the cost of His own precious blood. Are you hearing me? He purchased us. We didn't look for Him. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. He came looking for us. He came to this world to redeem us, to purchase us, so that we could be His own. Amen. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. Our heavenly bridegroom paid the highest price for us, His people. Amen. We are likened to the bride. Amen. The bride of Christ, who's been purchased. Amen. And we are in that betrothal time period. Amen. While He has gone away back to the Father's house to prepare a dwelling place there for you and for me. Hallelujah. That's what He was telling you. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going away. I'm returning to the Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone, amen, to the Father's house. He's preparing a dwelling place for us there. And at the appointed time of the Father, when the Father says, Son, it's time now for you to go and get your bride. When the Father gives Him that word, because no one knows the day or the hour, Jesus said, because the groom did not know when the Father would say, now, Son, it's time to get your bride. And so the bride had to live in preparation with her wedding gown on. Amen? And the bridesmaids had to have their lamps filled with oil in preparation because they did not know when He would come, whether it would be at the midnight hour. And so the word is going to go out one of these days. Behold, the bridegroom comes. So be ready. The Lord is coming in an hour when you think not. Don't be asleep. Keep oil. Amen. Stay close. Set your affections on things above. Set your minds on Him. Amen. We're looking to Him. Those who are looking for Him, He will return and receive. You see, He's coming again, this time without sin. Amen. Under salvation. Not to redeem us from sin, but to receive His bride, who has prepared herself, who has her garments washed, amen, in the blood of the Lamb. We are in the time of preparation for the return of the heavenly bridegroom. And only those who are ready will go with Him. They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then they will go into the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. And those who did not prepare themselves are those who are going to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He will say to them, I never knew you. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If He were to come today, do you know that you would go? And how can you say that? How can you know that? It's not based upon my goodness, is it? It's not based upon our goodness. It's on His mercy. We rely upon His grace. We can't save ourselves. That's why He came. He redeems us through His blood. He makes us His own. And now as He has gone and returned to the Father's house, amen, the bride is to be about the time of preparing herself and also about the Father's business. And when He comes, we'll be ready. And so when Jesus met with His disciples at that Last Supper, Passover, He broke bread with them. He being the bread of heaven, bread of life, who gave His life for us. He was broken that we might be healed. Bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. So we take the bread together, which is symbolic of our Lord's body that was broken for us. He became our sacrifice. He died in our place. Aren't you grateful today? Lord, we thank You for what You have done for us, for Your mercy that You've shown us. Thank You, Lord, that You are willing to go all the way to the cross for us so that we could be liberated from this body of sin, and that we become your children. We pray as we take of this today, Lord, that your virtue, your healing virtue, will be released into our, even our bodies today for healing. We pray for your healing, for our mind, Lord, a restoration of souls today. For divine healing for our bodies, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So take together in Jesus' name. Same manner after supper, he took the cup. And again, this speaks of the marital wine that would be exchanged between the groom and the bride. Amen. And that they would make their vow. The bride would receive the cup. And by doing so, she would proclaim that she belongs now to the groom, that she accepts the contract, the covenant, and that she would no longer live for herself but for the bridegroom. Everything that she has now belongs to him, and everything that he has belongs to her. This is marital wine. By taking this, we are exchanging and saying a renewing of our vow. Lord, everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Amen? So we take this in remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice. Amen? And for the cleansing that comes also through the precious blood of Christ. Amen? That makes us holy so that we can be united again. Together with him, because the Bible says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. So in natural marriage, they become one flesh, but in the Holy Spirit, amen, we become one spirit in the Lord. And so by taking this, we say, Lord, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the price that you paid. Hallelujah. I receive this cup, Lord. And I pledge my faith anew to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given life and breath to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that there's healing and that there's deliverance, Lord. And there is salvation in your name, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, you came to liberate us, Lord, from captivity under Pharaoh, under Satan, Lord, that we might become sons and daughters in the new birth, Lord. You came to liberate us, Lord God, from all bondage. Lord, we know it is your heart's desire is that your people would walk in complete freedom from the power of sin and power of Satan and to overcome, Lord, our carnal nature each day, Lord, as we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow you. Lord, we pray for the grace that we need. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us, strengthen my brothers and sisters today by your Spirit in the inner man, Lord. Make us strong in your might, Lord. Make us bold for you, Jesus, that we will have no fear of man. Hallelujah. But Lord, that we will honor you with our lives, honor you in these bodies that you've given us, Lord God, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that every wall will come down, that we'll be perfectly joined together in unity and in one accord, Lord, for it is there that you command the blessing. Father, we pray that we'd rise up and that you drive our enemy out of the camp, Lord, and that you'll crush Satan under our feet shortly. In Jesus' name, for your name's sake, Lord God, that you will be glorified in your people, in your saints, and in the coming days, Lord God. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we say, Lord, use us for your vessels, Lord. Baptize our hearts with your Holy Spirit and fire. Make us strong in your might, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Lord God. Our eyes are upon you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We just pray that you deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah, Lord. Our hope is in you. Hallelujah. We know where our help comes from. Our help comes from who? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let it be known today that you are God in this place, in our hearts. Captivate every heart and mind, I pray. Draw us into you. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Lead us into all truth, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Title of the message this morning is Reaching Forward. I know many of us are thinking about, well, what do we want to do different this year? Making resolutions sometimes, right? And I would pray that all of us would make the resolution and follow through with it to draw near to God and to come and gather more often. God wants us gathering. And God gives us responsibility over our bodies. Our bodies are not to tell us what to do. If you're sick, you stay home, amen, and you get well. But I'm talking about if we're able-bodied and we can, amen, we need to tell ourselves, amen, get up, get ready, and get here, amen, because the body of Christ is meeting, amen, and God wants to do something. The devil is a thief. And so he'll come off and offer all kinds of excuses because he wants to rob you of what God has for you. And you know, it's important that we gather because we grow healthy as we gather, amen? And we receive from the gift of God that's in each one of us. So there's no islands, as we say, or lone rangers in the kingdom. What we need is we need God's grace. We need God's strength. We need God's power in order to accomplish His will. Some people are relying upon their own willpower to live the Christian life. And you're only doing as well as you are at the moment, as long as you're relying upon you. But the battle that we're facing is impossible for us to overcome as long as we're relying upon our own grace, our own strength. We need God's grace. We need His help. We need His strength. And as I said already, God is weaning us off self-dependence, where we want to live an independent life of Him and do our own thing. And often it's just about including God in what we want to do rather than following His direction. We set our own course and ask God to bless it. And I suggest to you this morning that if you obey God's voice and do His will, it's already blessed. What God is doing is blessed. What God authorizes, He blesses. So we need to discover what God's plan is, what God's will is for our lives. And we cannot be passive in this, by the way. How many know that a passive soldier will get trampled on? We are in a war, spiritual war, you know that. So we need the strength of God, amen, in order to overcome and defeat our enemy and our lives. Jesus has already overcome him. And then he authorizes us to what? Enforce that victory in our lives. So we need to call upon him and ask him for grace, for strength, for the power of his spirit, so that we can control what we're doing in our bodies. Because our bodies belong to Him. Amen. We are the bride. And we are to keep ourselves pure for the bridegroom. So we need diligence in pursuing God's leading. You all know this very well, but Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The word diligently means to search out, crave, or demand, to demand on. So we know that John, as the forerunner of our Lord, amen, he came to make the way for the Lord. And so when John was here, he was basically announcing the arrival of Israel's king, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And he said something interesting. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:12. He said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they had vigorously opposed. Herod the king had done his part to hinder the advancement of the kingdom by incarcerating John. But in this passage, Jesus is giving us a picture of the kingdom of heaven as a besieged city with all types of people hammering at it from the outside, trying to get in, trying to penetrate and to get in. So what he's saying here is there's a certain spiritual violence or aggressive faith that is necessary for us to enter into the kingdom or to receive the promises of God. Yeah, the blessings of God. In other words, you cannot be neutral and you cannot be passive to receive the promises of God. You cannot be passive and receive your freedom, your deliverance from bondage. You have to rise up in the authority that God gives you, and you need to take authority over your enemy, and you need to put him in his place and quit allowing him to push you around . So there has to be a certain spiritual violence, if you will, or aggressiveness in our faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Crying out, calling upon the Lord, was an audible cry, a shout even, pierced the ears. There's a time to be quiet and there's a time to shout. When the walls of Jericho came down, they came down with what? A shout. So we've got to be diligent in this. Diligent people are productive people. Passive people generally don't accomplish much. Passive people generally lack a clear sense of direction. Think about it. It's important that you have a God-given vision for your life. If you don't understand where you're going, you're just going to sit there. You're not going to move. How many here have been passionate about something that you wanted in life? You're willing to work hard to get it. Sacrifice even to get it or to achieve it. So the things that we are called to, kingdom purpose of God, requires an aggressive faith, tenacity that says, I will not quit, I will not give up, I will not look back. Now you hear me. I love when Jacob had wrestled with the angel of the Lord until the break of day. He would not allow him to go until he did what? And blessed him. You see, there was a certain spiritual violence or aggressive faith that he had. Amen? That he would not let go of the angel of the Lord until the Lord blessed him. And there are times when you just need to get, if you will, your ugly praise on. And you just need to break out of that box, break out of that complacency, break out of that apathy, break out of that passivity. Amen? And the Bible says to stir up the gift of God that's within you. You need to stir up the gift of God that's within you. Hallelujah. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, one of our greatest weapons is praise. Amen? And we need to learn how to open our mouth and give God praise. And we need to break out of that prison, hello, of self-consciousness. Self-centeredness. We got to get over ourselves in order to be the servant of the Lord. You can't make it about us. Amen. It's not about us. It's about the will of God being accomplished through us. And in order for us to accomplish the will of God, we have to learn how to deny ourselves. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. We want to be the person, amen, to stand in the gap, to minister to others, to bless others, to give of ourselves. People that do the best in life are people who are givers of themselves. They have done studies on people with mental illness. That is a common denominator with most of them. They're very self-centered. And so they get caught up in their own little world, in their own head. Amen? And the enemy uses that to compound it and to overwhelm them. And yet those who live for others do the best in this world. The people that don't even know the Lord understand there's a principle that it feels good. It just feels right when I'm giving of myself to others. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, do I have a God-given vision for my life, my family, my church, my city? How about the kingdom? Do you have a vision for your life? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what God expects of you this coming year? You need to know who you are. We've been talking about that. But you also need to know where you're going. Otherwise, we'll just become passive. People who have a vision of the future are people that aggressively pursue it. They have a passion for something. Amen. We need a holy passion to pursue the Lord and the things of the Lord, to pursue His heart, His will, that His will might be accomplished in our lives. Jesus cried out to the Father, amen, with tears, and He was heard. You understand, there has to be a certain aggressiveness because we're, if you will, pressing in to the kingdom. You need to press in and you need to press on. So Paul was saying, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, but I press on towards the mark of the high call. There has to be a certain pressure, if you will, spiritual pressure. Hallelujah. Israel, they lost sight of Canaan. It vanished from their eyes, many of because they were fixated on temporal comforts and temporal things. And so they quit looking forward, and all they could see is their present situation. And they became discouraged because they had lost sight of where they were going. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but what? Understand what the will of the Lord is." And the next verse is key to this, by the way, to understanding God's will, but also possessing the power to accomplishing it. And as in Ephesians 5:18, how many know this? "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or leads to destruction, but be filled with the Spirit." So we rely upon God's grace, God's power, in order to accomplish His will. Human willpower can only go so far. Amen? Even the youths get weary and faint. Amen? But Isaiah 40 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." How many could say today, you know, I need a renewing of my strength? I need more of God, amen. I need His power in my life, working effectual in my life again, amen. So in order to receive what God has, you cannot be passive about it. You have to have an aggressive faith and calling on Him, amen, and pursuing Him and seeking Him, because He will be found of you if you will seek for Him with all your hearts. A lot of times we're just waiting for something to drop out of the air. God says, seek and you'll find. Amen. Knock and the door will be open. Those who receive from God are not the passive, but those who earnestly seek Him. Those who will stop at nothing to receive the promises of God. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit is God's promise for those who seek Him. Acts 5:32, "And we are witnesses to these things, And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who, somebody say, obey Him. There is a cost to the anointing, and that is the surrender of one's will to the will of God. Amen? If you want the power of God in your life, you're going to have to deny yourself. Amen? You're going to have to yield your will to the will of God. Submit yourself to God. You have to get over you in order to get into the place where God can use you. Amen? He can't use people that are full of themselves. Amen? He can't use us if we're full of our own agenda. We have to be willing to lay our agenda down, even as a church. We can have all kinds of good ideas, but what we need is the will of God. Amen? And so, Lord, we just want to do it your way. Lead us in the way we should go. And unite us together around that vision, Lord, your vision for us. For this is your house. This is your work. This is your building. Jesus, you said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If God builds it, it will endure. Amen? Are you the building of the Lord? I think we are. Amen? We're part of that. We're the lively stones that make up His temple. Hallelujah. We are a habitation of God in the Spirit, and God wants to empower His people. Amen? But we need to come together in unity, and we need to pursue the Lord. We need to seek the Lord together. Amen? And we should all be calling on the name of the Lord when we gather for praise. Amen? God wants to bring us to a place where we're not relying on everybody else. But we learn how to rely upon Him. We know how to get secure and anointing from the Lord ourselves. Those who were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost were all united. And they were obedient to the Lord's command to wait for the promised baptism of power. Because remember, Jesus had told them in Luke 24:49, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are what? Endued with power from on high. How many know we need the power of God in order to accomplish the will of God? Amen? And you're not going to receive that power if you're being passive. You need an aggressive faith. The effectual fervent prayer. Crying out to the Lord. Amen. We need a passion for Jesus. Passion is that sacrificial desire, if you will. That I'm willing to give up myself that I might receive from God. I'm willing to give up my agenda that I might receive His. What did they do? They surrendered their will to the will of God. They gathered. And they received the promise of God. The first thing they received was a prophetic word of the Lord. Amen? And then they had to act upon it. The Lord told them, Terry, in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They obeyed His word. And God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. We have to obey His instruction. God will always honor what He authorizes. Amen? If He speaks it, He'll confirm it. If He tells you to do it, He'll back it up. See, we need to step out of ourselves. Sometimes we're just like that boat where the disciples were all sitting in on the storm. Amen? Peter is willing to get out of the boat because he saw Jesus was on the water and he wanted to be with Jesus. Diligent people are generally those who have a clear vision for their life. Diligence in pursuing God's will brings about a fulfilled vision. Laziness does not. Guys, naturally, you know, we do not have the ability, all right, to continue in this race to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need the power of God in order to do that. We need to depend upon the grace of God in order to do that. And so don't be fatalistic. Don't adopt the attitude that says whatever will be, because that's not God's way. God's way is for us to listen to His directions and then diligently follow them. See, some people do. They have a passive, fatalistic view of Christian living. Amen? Whereas, well, if God wants to do it, He'll just do it. I'm just going to sit here by the pool until the water is troubled, you know. Yeah, how's that working for you? So where there's no vision, when you don't have a vision for your future, we tend to fall back into our old ways. Some people, they get on fire for God. They're all excited, and then it begins to wane. Why? Because they don't have a clear vision of where they're going. You ever feel like you're like a gerbil in that wheel just kind of going around, wondering where am I actually going? I'm putting a lot of effort out, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Not anymore, praise God. I love it. Israel had been promised a land flowing with milk and honey, but lost sight of the divine vision in the wilderness and began to fall back. In other words, their hearts began to turn back to Egypt. You don't have a vision for Canaan or for the future or where you're going, then you're prone to fall back into your old ways, into your old comfortable ways, things that may have been very dysfunctional, but they're all you knew. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish or they cast off restraints. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. The word vision means dream, revelation, or oracle. Where there's no dream, revelation, or oracle, the people cast off restraint. Also, the word for perish there means to go backwards. We talk about backsliding. Why do people backslide? Because usually they have lost sight of where they're going. Or they've been distracted by other things. And the Israelites, in their heart, they wanted to return to where? Back to Egypt. Because they lost sight of where they were going. God took them out, remember, of Egypt to bring them into a land. But in that in-between time is when many of them did not make it. They fell in the wilderness, as you remember. Sometimes we get discouraged because things are not happening as quickly as we expected. How many realize that you cannot rush God? I've tried to rush God. God's in His own time, amen? He's not even in time, actually. But His timing is perfect. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Ever been there? But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Oh, when you had to wait for something. When you've had to pursue something, amen? When you've had to fight for something. You've travailed for something in prayer. And when the answer comes, it's a tree of life. Some of you have been praying for your grandchildren, your children for years, and to see them eventually come back to the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a tree of life. You and I, we can have a genuine vision burning within us and yet lose hope because years have gone by since we received the dream or vision and nothing seems to have come of it. But the Lord is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. Moses, he foresaw God using him to bring deliverance to the Israelites. But how many know that God didn't use Moses to bring that deliverance until 40 years later? That was a long delay. Now, we know one of the Holy Spirit's ministries is to show us things to come. Amen? John 16:13. When He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So it's important that you and I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will show us things to come. He's the one that will give you a vision for the future. Amen. So you can say, yeah, I know what God is calling me to. And I can prepare myself for that. The Holy Spirit will lead us in the way we should go. He's the one that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. However, it's important that we rid ourselves of anything that would hinder us in reaching our God-given destiny. We live in a culture that desires instant gratification, don't we? We need patiently wait on the Lord for His promises to come to pass. That's one of the things that's lacking because everything is instant now. We live in that culture. I'll give you an example of rushing into marriage. Anybody ever done that? Some of you may be in the season of your God-given vision right now, though. Some of you may be in that. For others, your vision may be for a future appointed time. What does God want you to do? He doesn't want you to be passive. He wants you to actively wait on Him and make the preparation, because God always prepares us for what He has up ahead. I'll give you some examples in just a minute here. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become what? Sluggish. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We have got to get a hold or a grip over our flesh, over our bodies even, amen? Because our bodies want to dictate sometimes. We cannot allow our bodies to call the shots, amen? It's the spirit within us that we have to obey. And the body needs to just follow suit, amen? God knows what we're capable of. He knows our limitations, amen? And so what He will call you to do is not beyond what you're able to do. If He calls you to do something, He will provide the grace for you to accomplish it. Abraham obeyed God's instructions. He had to leave his land and his people to go to another land which God would show him in Genesis 12. So he patiently obeyed God and received the promised son Isaac. Remember how many years later? 25 years later. I remember receiving a call to preach. First, it was a prophetic word, a message. It was confirmed through others. This is what God was calling me to do. But that God didn't instantly put me in the pulpit. I hope He's not disappointed now, but you know. There has to be the discipline. You know, we have to learn how to deny ourselves. We need to learn how to submit to authority. We need to learn how to serve others on the job training. Amen? Bible training, etc., right? You got to prepare yourself. Because if God gives you a promise, amen, He wants you to prepare for that. God was preparing Israel in the wilderness for the promised land. Amen? But many of them, they lost sight of where they were going. They didn't have a vision of Canaan any longer. They decided that it would be better just to go back. Because when we lose sight of where we're going, we're prone to fall away. We become passive. But people who have a clear vision are diligent people. They can see it. People will go to all kinds of pains and expenses, amen, to find buried treasure. Right? They will. I mean, because they know it's there, they just need to find it. But if they can find it, they know they'll be rich. And all that they had invested, all that they had denied, amen, themselves of, would then be worth it. How about raising godly children? Amen. We've got to have a vision of this future generation. It requires patience, right? And feeding, encouraging, comforting, and instructing your children, and also being an example. But listen, just because your kids aren't necessarily following it now, if you instill those values in them, you teach them the word, amen, you be that example to them, the time will come when they will come back. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will what? Not depart from it. A healthy marriage requires diligence, amen, of loving and honoring and respecting and serving and submitting to one another, and even planning for the future. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't look back? The Apostle Paul didn't look back either, nor did he abandon his ministry because of the many trials he faced. He kept his focus on Jesus and the joys that lay ahead in Acts 20 and 24. He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Who are those who love his appearing? Those who live for him in this world. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Doesn't matter whether you're seeing any fruit right now. Amen. There are fruits that Abraham is still receiving from his investment. Amen. Even after he was gone. And you look at Hebrews 11. Many of those did not receive the promises in their lifetime. But by faith, they continued to persevere and press on in the known will of God for them. Amen. So ask yourself this again. Do I have a God-given vision for my life? How many would agree with me? It's very important that you have a vision for the future. Amen. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in a place of despair and hopelessness if we're just looking at our present situation. You know, I use this example a lot, but when a dog is in the kennel, it just sits around and swats the fleas. Amen. All right. It's irritated by the fleas. But when it's on the hunt, it forgets all about the fleas. I can tell you the other day, our two little monsters, little babies, got out of the fence and they were running down the street. And I'm like, oh, God, no. And here comes a truck, of course, you know. And I let the girls handle it because the louder I yell at them, the faster they go. They think I'm playing with them or something. I don't know. But they heard the neighbor dog is what it was. And so they completely lost their mind. They weren't hearing me anymore. That was all like, because they were on the hunt. Are you hearing me? They had a vision that we're going to go meet up with these neighbor dogs. We've been hearing them bark for a long time. Now we get to meet them. Unfortunately, they're only a block away. So we could get them from the fence. The point is, we need to be like that. We need to be diligent in pursuing the will of God, knowing that we only have a short window of opportunity. Amen. God has given you another day, and by his grace, we'll have another year. Amen. Let's make the most of this year. Amen. Let's redeem the time before the days are evil. Amen. And sow your life in this world now, because you know you're not going to be able to hold on to it forever. Amen. So the best thing you can do, the best investment, is to give your life over to Jesus. Amen. And to serve him for the rest of your days, and knowing that one day, you will have an abundant welcome into heaven. You will hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Prayer is so important. We need to pray. We need to wait on the Lord for his instructions. We need to follow his example in word and deed. We need to fellowship with those who follow the Lord. We need to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And we need to refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. Hallelujah. We've got to get some deep roots. Amen. Let your roots grow deep down into Christ. Hallelujah. Because, man, we're going to have some storms this year. We see it already, don't we? Amen. But God is with us, and his grace is sufficient for us. We rely upon the grace of God, and we can overcome any situation that we face. He didn't say if, but when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. That's all we need to know, is that the Lord is with us. Amen. And he is mighty to save. He's with us and he's actually for us. Hallelujah. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We serve a faithful Lord, don't we? And he will be with us to the end. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts and awaken our hearts. I pray that you will bring the treasure from within us out, Lord God, that it will be invested, Lord, in the hearts of humanity around us. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon us right now. Lord, I ask you to empower us. I ask you again, Lord, to awaken our hearts to life. Lord God, that we will not be passive, that we will not be lazy, but Lord, that we will have a diligent assurance. that we will live for you, that we will honor you, we will glorify you in these coming days. Father, I pray that you would unite this body, strengthen the bonds of our relationship, Lord, of our peace in the Holy Spirit. God, let your will be done this coming year in each one of our lives and in our families and in our community and in America. Father, we're asking for your will to be done. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Use us. Let us be a vessel for you, Lord God. We want to honor you all of our days. And we want to please you more than anything else. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.